WNST, Towson Baltimore, Baltimore Positive. We are positively, and I'm making the big announcement, getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. I finally put it all together for my grandmother's birthday on All Saints Day in November. I promised crab cakes. I promised Raven scratch-offs in the Maryland Lottery. It's all coming. Our friends at Window Nation also involved at 866-90-NATION. You buy two, get two free. 5 years, 0% financing. And our newest partners on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, Jiffy Lube and Jiffy Lube MultiCare. My wife and I took the vehicle into them for a quick oil change. A little orange light goes on, you know, a couple thousand miles. You got to go do it. So you do it. Do it with our friends at Jiffy Lube. All right. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour has been, I don't want to say suspended. It was my birthday a couple weeks ago. It feels like I've been off the road a long time. JR's got me some cool new equipment we're going to roll out this month. But I am rolling this out, and John Martin's not even here. He has sent the A-team in here this week. Our Pittsburgh friend, and it's not even Steelers week, although problems in Pittsburgh, problems all over the division, not Cincinnati right now or Baltimore. Seth Elkin, our defending champion, joins me here. Dude, I got to tell you this. People hit me on the internet all the time. I was out in Vegas, I was doing things, baseball, World Series, football, all this stuff going on. Dude hits me this morning on Twitter and gets a little flippant with me about the baseball series because I was sort of trashing Arizona and saying Phillies would have given him a better series. And, you know, well, the Phillies should have won and they should have won, right? All that. But he said to me, I guess you didn't believe Arizona could come back, could you? And I'm like, dude, I was 11 years old when the Pittsburgh Pirates came back from 3-1. And once you see that, and then my wife with the Red Sox down 3-0 20 years ago now with Curt Schilling and all that, I don't ever count a team out in a baseball series, Seth. You know, I mean, I learned that as a young man, unfortunately.
I guess that 79 World Series left an impression in the collective consciousness around here that's different than the one that I remember from being in Pittsburgh. So
Omar Moreno's wife, we are family. Seth is here. He represents the Maryland Lottery. By the way, I saw Roz on Saturday. My wife and I went up to the Crab Cake Festival with our friends from the Bay, and we didn't get a crab cake. Coco's one of our great clients, and they're on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. But Roz was spinning a wheel. I got up on her. My hair was all out. She's like, hey. I said, can I get a scratch off, please? And, you know, but they're spinning the wheel. You guys are out. I witnessed it. I mean, and I guess, dude, the weather this week, right? Outdoor festivals are starting to not so much, but you guys get out in the community, and even I saw it for myself this week.
We had a really good day this past Saturday. We were also at Barkstoberfest in Patterson Park, which is a big event for the Barks Animal Shelter, and it was a beautiful day. It was that last day of summer, really. It got up to be about 80 degrees on Saturday, so we were out there for that. And I did not go to that because probably I would have come home with a dog had I done that. And I want a dog, but I just don't know that I want to commit to that. So it was better that I not be there and end up coming home with a four-legged friend. So.
Right, so this is where we get really off track and we don't talk anything about the lottery at all. And I say to you, you know, my wife came into the relationship with a cat, and the cat and I, it was Siamese. It didn't go well. I felt bad about it for years in our marriage. And I finally got the first cat, fell in love with the cat, got, you know, like the whole deal. My wife almost died twice and the cat was my companion. Then the cat died. It was like the worst thing. The worst day of my life was the day our cat died. We were in Paris, believe it or not, seeing Jimmy Buffett, trying to be happy. We were there for the Ravens game in 17. It was on the Wembley knee when all that happened. So we're on our second cat now. And I can tell you this, dude, you don't follow me on real social media. If you just follow me, you'll know how much I love my cat. So my cat is the centerpiece of our. So for anybody out there adopting and the Maryland Lottery, anybody else that supports anything that Barks is doing, anything that our friends at Baltimore Humane Society, where we've gotten both of our beautiful cats, both of our calicos, dude, get a cat. I'm telling you, you will not regret it. And a little less responsibility. But when you run off to Vegas, you got to make sure either the wife stays home or you got to sit her. But either way, Seth Elkin is here. So I got to tell you this, I'm doing the Crab Cake Tour and I'm going to get all my dates out, and we're doing I'm doing 4 days in a row at the end of the month. Not that pumpkin pie and turkey's not going to get me, but I have the governor, I have the mayor. I just have some great, great. So we're going up to Hollywood scene. We're doing a whole bunch of stuff. But you're giving out millions of dollars, and I'm looking at, I get the little bulletin every week, it's like every week you've given away a million. You gave away 2 million and a million this week. There's been some really big winners in the state. I mean, my wife plays all these $1 billion, 700-bit Powerball, and Mega Million. But like but there's real stuff happening here. You guys give a lot of money away, man.
Now, we had a couple of fun ones last week. You know, we have fun with this all the time because, you know, every week we're seeing a dozen or 15 winners of really large prizes that come in here to claim. And
what's a really large prize? Come on now. 10 grand or above. Is that really large?
Well, we start interviewing people when they come here to claim at $30,000 and up. But we see a lot of 50s, a lot of 100,000. And last week we had two really big ones. We had, as you mentioned, there was a $2 million scratch-off win on a ticket sold in Clarksville in Howard County. And then we finally got one of those $2 million Powerball prizes. You remember, if you roll the clock back to the last week of September, there were two $1 million Powerball wins, one of which was in Snow Hill in Worcester County. We're still waiting to find out who that winner is. That's not been claimed yet. But the other one was at Golden Ring Liquors in Rosedale. And that winner was here last week to claim and had kind of an interesting story. Stopped to buy the ticket because he was on his way to an event where it was where he needed to bring some drinks with him. So he needed to stop and make a purchase to take with him to a party. And while he was there in the store, he happened to realize, hey, the Powerball jackpot is up around $1 billion at that point. It was the last week of September. We were on our way to 1.765 billion before it finally topped out on October 11th when it got hit. So he bought a couple of Powerball tickets at that point and just didn't happen to check them until late October.
Oh,
waited,
man,
about a month.
See?
Some people
do that. They buy them and they sit in the for my wife. I don't want to give anything away, but they sit in the car sometimes. She'll bring them in from the Royal. It's almost always the Royal Farm. She gets them at Y sometimes, but more Royal Farms because we're in there getting chicken like we were for the football game. The chicken was really good this week. It's like, I wanted to go on social media and say, but then I thought, like, it's always pretty good, but this just hit me the right way. But she'll take the ticket and just leave it in the car, and I'll find it and be like, this ticket's from May. Did you check it? She'll be like, yeah, I scanned it. You know, my lottery reward. You know, I mean, she does all that, but not everybody does. And not always we did. I mean, I bet there are tickets we didn't check in our lifetime, maybe.
Well, you know, their lottery players have a lot of idiosyncrasies and they have a lot of superstitions and just the way they like to do things. And there are some people who will buy a few tickets here or there, let them pile up for a month or two, and then decide to check them.
And, well, they also get up and hear in the news the big winner came in California. And then you're like, well, I didn't win, right? And that's where we really try every week here to have a little bit of fun, talk some Pirates, some Orioles, some giveaways. We do things, you know, like funding stadiums, doing things, right? But, like, you know, at the end of the day, like, the whole education is – this dude won $1 million and probably woke up and said, oh, I didn't win the big one. It was in California and forgot about it, like, a little bit, right?
Yeah, I think it's one of the things we always remind people of when the jackpots get large, because you do have people at that point who don't play all that often and decide to buy a ticket. It's, you want to be in on it when the jackpot's at $1 billion. And maybe you're not all that familiar with how the game works, but you want to buy a ticket. And it's a great time that we always remind people that there are 9 different prize levels in Powerball and Mega Millions. So make sure you check your tickets. No matter when you decide to do it, make sure you do it within 182 days of the drawing date, because the ticket will expire if you don't do that. So after 182
you, right?
days, like, you can't cash it.
Yeah. Does that happen?
It happens when usually with much smaller dollar amounts. It's exceedingly rare.
But if this guy found it next Easter, oh my God, right?
Yeah.
Like, that would have been bad, right?
It would have been a little bit frustrating, you would imagine.
You can't,
yes.
There's nothing, there's no, that's the
yeah,
law.
Once it's past 182 days, it can no longer be redeemed. 182 days past the drawing date. So you do have to check them.
That would not be good. Yeah.
But it is very, very rare for a prize that large.
Okay, so hold on now. You're saying this. Golden Rings claimed up the street. We had a winner, right? We go to mdlottery.com. Is the story up there?
Yep, it is.
Okay, so what about the other? The other one's not. The other one might be in somebody's jacket in Snow Hill or Salisbury, right? I mean, maybe.
Yep. And we're trying to get the word out about that since the last week of September. It's still plenty of time, of course, for that person to claim. But
you like put an ad in the paper in Easter Show. Hey, have you seen that? Where? I mean, so you know it was sold in a place, right?
Yep.
You know what time it was sold in the place.
Yep. And one of the things we do whenever a retailer sells a big winning ticket like this is we've got a banner that we send to the retailer, a 36 by 72 inch banner that's designed to be displayed outside that they can put outside to say, hey, we sold $1 million Powerball winner. So outside the store.
So in the store, they're asking like, hey, yep. Somebody came in here. That's listen, Snow Hill. I mean, no offense to small towns. I've been to a few. I went to Abbeville, South Carolina, my mom's hometown, little town. I've been to Snow Hill. I mean, everybody knows everybody, kind of. You know, like, unless somebody on a truck bought it going through or whatever, you'd say, well, we know we sold it. And we only have X amount of cost. You know, like, I hope they find the person, right? Literally.
Yeah, we sure do. We don't want that one to go unclaimed. We don't want any of them to go unclaimed, but particularly when it's a big prize like that. We sure hope we see that person.
All right, Seth Elkins here. If you know someone at Snow, tell them they might have won $1 million. We had a poor guy over at Golden Ring a couple weeks ago. You can go out to mdlottery.com, learn more. Maryland Crab Cake Tours. So you want these dates, Seth? Because I want to get these out because I like literally worked all week. I'm so proud of myself for putting this together and eating more crab. We got great guests. We're going to be a Fade League. On next Friday at 9 a.m. We're going to be at State Fair as well that day. Doubleheader next Friday. That's the 10th. We're going to be at Costas on the 14th, Tuesday the 14th from 2 to 5. Then we're going to be at Pappas on the 21st from 2 until 5, and that's before Thanksgiving. So they're going to have some pumpkin there. We're going to be down in Annapolis on the 28th with the governor. We're going to be at Coco's on the 29th. We're going to be at Gertrude's. Finally, Gertrude's at the BMA with Dan Rodericks for his show. And we're going to be promoting all that, talking about art. It's going to be awesome. Looking forward to having John Shields on the show too at Gertrude's. That's the 30th. We're going to be at Hollywood Casino Perryville on the 1st. And then we're going to be at Curio on the 15th and Foreign Daughter in December. So I still got to work on December. But that's everything I'm doing. That's Maryland Crab Cake Tour for this month. It is presented by the Maryland Lottery. I'm holding the ticket upside down, Seth. We had a lot of winners on this thing. This thing's far from done, right? But you are done drawing Jacksonville for now, right? Like the trip is over, but Tickets for Life still in play, and probably some big money still in play too on this contest.
Plenty of Ravens second chance. I'm glad you brought that up because we got another Ravens second chance. There's still more, a couple more, three more drawings in the Ravens second chance contest, but the next one's coming up November the 13th. So there's a bunch of prizes that you could possibly win in that drawing on the 13th. As you mentioned, we'll select one of the finalists for the seats for 20 years at that point. And that person, all of the finalists will each win $10,000 at a minimum. And then one of them is going to win seats for 20 years. And we'll find out about that, who that person is after the first of the year. But there's also separately.
And these are people that didn't win. Let's say that again, right? These are people that didn't win originally, or you could have won originally, but you go into by taking any of these tickets, and I try to tell this to people at Coco's and all these places, you scan, you get involved, you get a second chance, and Doug might call you. That's pretty much how it works.
any non-winning Ravens ticket, either the Ravens times two or Ravens times five,
can be either one. So it has to be non-winning. If I win $5 or $10, I'm not
non-winning. Yeah, non-winning tickets are the only ones that are scratch-offs, non-winning scratch-offs to understood. Be eligible for entry into my lottery rewards. So you enter them in, and you'll be prompted after you enter a Ravens ticket into your account. You'll be prompted as to which of the prize drawings you want to be in, which is kind of a cool feature of the Ravens Second Chance contest because we have so many different prizes. You can pick where you want your entry to go. If you want it to go into the Seats for 20 Years drawing, you can do that. There's a $10,000 cash drawing. You can do that. There is a drawing coming up on the 13th. Somebody's going to win a pair of season tickets for next year for 2024. You can enter that drawing. And then there's also the on-field pass for cash experience. We're going to pick two winners for upcoming games for that. So you can decide when you enter your ticket, which of those prizes you want to go after. And the next drawing date coming up on the 13th of November. So you've got until the 12th to get entered to be a part of that.
Well, you know what? I'm doing an event next week for America Cancer Society, so I want to promote that. It's called An Evening of Hope. It's next Thursday night at 6 p.m. It's at the Museum of Industry. You can go to my website. We're going to be doing a piece on that as well and just talking about the importance of that. But, like, I love those events when you go to one of those events and you get the raffle tickets and they have different bowls. If you want to win the fruit, you want to win the liquor, you want to win the trip, you want to win the ski trip, you want to win the beach trip, you want to win the Stein Darrell Hall electric guitar. But you know, you put into the, and I always think that's fun, you know, especially if you get a handful of tickets, you know, $20, you take 20 chances or whatever the deal is to try to win something. That's a neat part of the, I didn't, you just educated me, Seth. I really didn't know that that was part of the competition.
Yep. That's a cool feature of that contest because we have so many, and that's a great part of the partnership that the lottery has with the Ravens for 15 years now. You know, you've got access to prizes like the travel to Jacksonville. We got access to prizes that you're just not going to find anywhere else because of the partnership that we've developed over the years.
Well, I hope they play better, Jacksonville. You know, they didn't Arizona. I mean, we got three home games here. You know, don't let John duck me next week with the Browns coming around, all right? Like, make sure he's back. Seth Elkin is here, director of all communicational things with the Maryland Lottery and communicating holidays, right? So John and I talked about this a little bit. And to be honest with you and my audience, I mean, I guess I maybe knew this from back in the 70s, scratch and sniff with cherries and stuff like that, and John Waters at movies and stuff like that. That's a little name drop for a potential guest we might be having this week to have holiday. That would be the top of my bucket list. No offense to you, Seth, but if John Waters comes on the show this week, that's going to be like a really big deal to me. But when I think of scratch and sniff, I can't remember the last time I did it, but it was always the greatest thing ever when it smelled like watermelons or lemons or whatever it was. John told me you had scratch and sniff tickets, and I almost didn't believe it. Like, I'm like, prove it to me, you know, that really smells like gingerbread or whatever. But we really do have scratch and sniff tickets, and that's kind of fun, and they're pepperminty. And I can't imagine for the, like, when they're in the Royal Farms in the thing, that the whole thing doesn't smell like a peppermint factory. But the smells of the season, you know?
I think we had a scratch and sniff Old Bay ticket a few years ago. I was kind of partial to that. I really kind of like that a lot, actually.
That's pretty good. That was a summer promotion, obviously.
Yeah, right? It was. It was a cool ticket. That one was fun to do.
But, well, you walk into the liquor store and the whole place smells like crabs, right? I don't know. You know, that's pretty good. I like that.
But the holiday tickets, we launch our holiday tickets every year. We get several different varieties, and they launch every year in late October. So we're part of that whole movement that gets the holiday season started a little bit early. But it's November now, so we can get into the holiday spirit here. And we've got weekly second chance drawings that go along with that. So if you don't win something on your holiday tickets, you can enter them into your My Lottery Rewards account. Weekly drawings, where we're giving away $5,000 cash prizes from now clear into the early part of January. And then that last drawing of this promotion in mid-January, there are two $100,000 prizes that we're going to give away. So plenty of time to get your holiday tickets entered and have some post-holiday cheer potentially with the second chance contest.
See, I love when a Golden Ring Liquors thing happens, because I'm thinking that person's probably listening to me. I know somebody that won $1 million, or I know somebody that knows somebody, because it's small to more like that. Giving a lot of money away at the Maryland Lottery, we're going to be giving some money away. And I mean that. I mean, every time we go out, I got winners everywhere. Up at Hollywood Casino a couple weeks ago, we went up for the game. We're going to be doing it throughout November into December, same way Roz did it with the wheel, but I don't even do the wheel. Come on out. Let's have some fun. We're going to have some great, great guests, including the governor. Wes Moore is going to be joining us, as well as Mayor Brandon Scott. I'm working out some dates and times and places. All of it's going to be up on the website as we get through this. So to end things with Seth, because I only get him on, you know, every month or two.
Here it comes.
And some... Well, yeah, sometimes the Pirates beat the Orioles, but they don't play that much, you know? I mean, it was a better year for the Orioles, but in the end, we feel just as bad as the Phillies fans do at this point, about as bad as the Diamondbacks fans are probably going to feel it by the time they hear this.
This Steelers is a prelude to something about the Steelers, right?
Well, of course, they play Thursday night this week, so, like, you can pick them, and then if this plays Friday or Saturday, you can say, I told you so or not. I don't know. I'm picking them. I'm doing my segment with Christian Horton that we do each and every week for Hollywood Casino up in Perryville. I'm pretty good against the spread. I mean, I'm 14 games over 500 through week 8. So, I mean, I feel pretty good about that. Had a couple pushes, but I was 9-6-1 this week, so I felt pretty good about that. I would say for Pittsburgh, I picked Pittsburgh this week. I never, ever, ever shovel dirt on the Steelers, Seth. I've been doing this 32 years, right? We didn't even have a team the first 6 years. How many years have the Steelers stunk? Tell me, literally. I mean, you're almost my age. Like, you're pretty spoilt, like an Atlanta Braves fan would be or something.
It's not very often. We're used to being competitive, and we're used to being a playoff contender at the very least. Of course, as you mentioned, I'm old enough to remember those 4 years in the 80s when we didn't qualify for the playoffs. 1985 through 1988.
I remember Mark Malone. I do.
Mark Malone and Bubby Brister and many other not so illustrious.
I love that. This is when I'm going to get my Oiler stuff out and I'm going to talk about Warren Moon. I'm wearing my Warren Moon jersey next time on there. That's what I need to do to piss you off in football season. How did I not bring out my Pastorini jersey? By the way, I mean, Renfro caught that pass. I'm just telling you, that's a fact.
It's been 40 plus years now.
Those Oiler jerseys, like, I mean, the Oilers never beat the Steelers. So like, it's nothing to you. It's like seeing like a Hartford Whalers jersey or something. It just doesn't mean anything, right?
Yeah. We pretty much owned the rivalry against all the other teams in the division at that time.
Even my Pens are Columbia blue, dude. I mean, come on now, you know,
were really good looking throwbacks though, that they wore the other day.
Isn't that wrong though? Isn't that terrible?
No, I don't, because didn't they still wear the Oilers uniforms the first year or two after they moved to Tennessee?
Yeah, and they shouldn't have, but they did. And yeah, they were the Tennessee Oilers. I have a picture of me and Eddie George. I mean, I have a picture of me and Blaine Bishop in an Oiler jersey when he was a Tennessee Oiler at Memorial State. The last game, Memorial Stadium, they wore Oiler threads. They're wearing the Oiler jerseys on the field. So yeah. Both times when we lost the Colts, Earl Campbell, that was the last game at Memorial Stadium, and the last game was the Tennessee Oilers. In 1997. So, yeah. So I have a Pittsburgh story for you, but it's fictional. Do you want it?
Maybe those are the best kind, the fictional kind. I would make up just about anything to avoid talking about what's really happening there right now. So,
okay, that's fine. Is there anything you want to say or no?
No.
No. Okay. But they're playing the Tennessee Titans that thought they were Oilers last week. I really should have worn my Pastor. I should have worn my Moon jersey because Moon beat y'all up. Moon was during that period of Bubby Brister, and it was some good time. I had some fun rides home from Pittsburgh during that era, because we lost the Colts. I was a huge Oiler fan, 87, 88. I was an Eagles season ticket holder during that period, but I was an Oiler fan. I really was never an Eagles fan. I was just an NFL fan. I think everybody knows. But so I'm in Vegas last week, all right? And I went to see a band called Yacht Rock Review. I'm in Mandalay Bay. It's Thursday night. It's 11 o'clock. I walk into the casino after a show on a Thursday night. So it's active, not like Friday. I went to see U2 on Friday. It was crazy. It's up by Wynn. The Sphere thing's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. But I'm walking through the casino, and there's not a lot of people around. It's 11:30 on a Friday or Thursday night. Active, but not nuts. Really nice Mandalay Bay, walking through. And I look, and there he is. 6'6", silver hair, impeccably dressed in a suit, cigar burning out of his left hand, and a shot glass with a cube and whatever his spirit is. And he's walking through. He's got a little merce, like a man purse, impeccably dressed, and walking toward me. And I looked, and I'm like, Dr. J. It was Dr. J. So. Wow. So Dr. J, I covered Dr. J's last ever game. The game, he played the Milwaukee Bucks at the Spectrum. Don Nelson was the coach. I sat next to Mike Wilbon. I met Mike Wilbon that night. He's working for the Washington Post. 1987, I was 19 years old.
So Believe it or not, I remember that.
April of 87. So Dr. J's last game, I covered it for the paper here, Evening Sun, wrote a story about it. They played the Bullets the week before. So Dr. J was just really nice to me. And I was a kid and I was a reporter and I was at his locker, talking to him. I had covered a couple of their games because I was obsessed with Dr. J. Dr. J was my favorite player. And he was very kind to me. And I remember that. I've never been in his presence since then. His daughter that played tennis, remember like all that weird stuff that happened? Alexandra, I believe. She played tennis with my cousin at Arizona. My cousin was a great player. So I had some things I could talk to him about. And I like was going to go up to him. And the only thing I could think was the fish had saved Pittsburgh. Like, all, like literally. And I just like thought about the Fish That Saved Pittsburgh, and he passed me, and he sat all alone at a little at a game, sitting in a game to put his stuff down, and a young man, young African American guy working at the casino, snaked him. None of us, like, it wasn't that busy, you know? And the young guy went over to him and just gave him some love. And you know what he said to him? "You were better than Jordan, man. You were better than Jordan." And I went up to the young guy and I'm like, that's a doctor. I didn't talk to him at all. I left him alone. I was going to go up, break some ice, tell him I love the Fish That Love Pittsburgh, tell him he was kind to me. And I was going to just give an elbow bump and move on. I didn't want to pay. It was a casino. I didn't want to do, but like the young guy, there's a 25-year-old guy working in the casino. He's like, "That's a doctor." And I said, "How would you know he was better than Jordan? You're not even old enough to know either one of them. I watched them both play. And you know what? He was better than Jordan." So, you know, you guys never had a basketball team, though. But the Pittsburgh Pisces were, right? That was a thing.
That we had there before my time, there were a couple of ABA teams, I think, that played in Pittsburgh in the late 60s. And then we did have the one thing I remember, you're talking about covering things. We had a CBA team. Remember the Continental Basketball Association?
We had a CBA team.
The Pittsburgh Piranhas played the 94-95 season in the CBA and made it to the finals. And I actually covered one of the games of the 1995 CBA finals at the, what was at the time called the Palumbo Center, Duquesne University's.
Publication did you cover?
It was one of the regional newspapers, Beaver County Times newspaper, is a suburban paper outside.
Oh, dude, you got to come get a crab cake and we'll just talk about this. Cause I covered the CBA. They were the Lightning. They were the Lancaster Lightning that got moved to Baltimore in the late 80s. They played at the Towson Center. They were coached by Henry Bibby. And their big star was a guy named Don Collins, D.C. from downtown. And he, a lot of guys of that era, some off the field, off the court issues during that period of time. But I covered Michael Adams, who's a bit shorter than me. Michael Adams from Boston College played for the Bay State Bombardiers. Look this ish up. Bay State Bombardiers. It's a thing in the CBA in the late 80s. And he was their star player. And he went on to play for the Bullets and used the CBA as a real launching point to get in. There was also the IBL and Herb Brown and Cal Ripken, but I'll save that for when Cal does a crab cake with me. Seth Elkin is here. He does all things communicating for our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour to a dozen places before Christmas. The whole schedule's up. All of our partners are involved in holiday madness and crab cake shipping. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We have these Raven scratch-offs to give away. I'm going to hit Roz off for some scratch and sniff just for that. I got to have scratch and sniff once we get into December. Seth, did I miss anything? Did we get it all? We got the Pittsburgh pipe. I took it easy with you with the Steelers, did I not? I was kind of nice, right?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You know, our team's 6-2. It's okay. All right.
But we beat you.
And you could drop the mic with that. He is Seth. We'll see you next year. We are the WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop trash talking in the Pittsburgh Pisces and talking sports. Stay